It's time for Crack the Customer Code, the ultimate podcast to help you unlock the secrets to understanding and connecting with your customers.
Adam, if you were to rate my service today, between 1 and 5, with 5 being most excellent, outstanding, what would you give me?
5.5.
Yes. Excellent. Thank you.
It was excellent. Your service has been fantastic, Jeannie.
Just today, though.
I want to pay double for the service. That's how good it's been.
Wow. That's saying something.
Yeah. It's obviously 1 o'clock, but.
You know, I think we're all used to getting those little messages of how did I do at the end of a service chat or in some cases, Twitter. And I was looking around at this idea of all these different channels. And I found this article by this guy who actually compared a bunch of the big telecom companies and the big internet providers like AT&T and Verizon and Spectrum was another one that he looked at. And the title is "The People Behind Ask Spectrum Are Very Nice Considering Everyone Wants Them Dead." So you can tell where he's going with this. But he was just looking at Twitter streams of customer service in this realm. And he kind of came up with this, not conclusion per se, but he had this idea that maybe it's easier to be personal and to have more of your personality as a rep come out on channels like Twitter instead of if you're answering the phone and using a script and actually talking to somebody. Because by the time somebody reaches out to customer service, a lot of times they're already angry. I mean, you talk about that a lot, right? Like, there's already physiological stuff happening by right. The time we reach out.
100%.
So his point was, what if Twitter is actually a more personal channel for this? Because everybody can take a breath before they type. Everybody can take a moment. And he showed some of the really hostile things that customers say. And then the person writes back and says, wow, we're totally ready to get this set up for you. Thanks so much for reaching out. And they sign their initials or there's a happy face or all these things to personalize it just a smidge. And what happens is the customer starts kind of de-escalating and saying, oh, good, thank you. Because what else can you say to that, right? Like, but I want to yell in all caps.
You can say a lot of things to it. I think there's some selective
sure
visioning here.
Sure. But I think it's a good question. Like, do you think it's easier to personalize it, to make it a little easier both on the rep and the customer through Twitter or through chat or these places where you can have a
no,
beat?
I don't think it's easier. One, I think we're conflating personalizing with creating a better service interaction, which can be done without personalizing. I think you absolutely can personalize on these channels. And I think that both for certain reps and certain customers who are not comfortable with conversation, it may be a better way to personalize. But I do not think the medium is more conducive to personal interactions than, say, phone. We're not biologically wired in that way. You can create better connections with tone of voice. You can create better, as a rule, there's going to be exceptions. Like I said, certain people don't want to talk to anybody, right? They have social anxiety. They have whatever it may be. They're the digital generation. They actually haven't had a conversation with a human in 3 years, right? It just depends. So everything's context. But in the macro, overall, no, I don't think these text channels are more conducive to personal, but they can be used for personal. So they're not better per se. I don't think it's an improvement. I just think you can do it there and you should try to do it there when you're working on that channel.
Well, and I would be really curious if working through a channel like Twitter for an actual agent, I wonder if they're able to not stress out as much. If they're not actually, to your point, getting that connection of like the tone of voice or the volume of voice or whatever, I don't think we react in the same way. And we can monitor what we're like how we're taking that information. So if somebody's ever like sent you a really long email that is all about how awful you are or something, like we have the choice.
All right, Jeannie, just talk about the email you sent last night. I haven't replied yet. Sorry.
I mean, I'm just saying theoretically, but we have a choice as the reader, as the recipient of how like fast and how much of that information we take in. And when you're on the phone and somebody's yelling at you, you don't really have that choice. So I'm curious about like, what about the emotional state of the agent? Is it healthier for them in some ways to have that minute where they can kind of decide, they have a little bit more control? I don't know what the answer is.
I would say I do know the answer. The answer is yes, of course. Yeah. I just think the premise is off, which is of the sort of larger discussion, which is to say that, yes, that's true. It does help people be a little more disconnected from the emotions as a rule. Though people can be very biting in print they want, right, in type. A little harder to do in 140, 280 characters, right? Mm-hmm. That's for sure, because you can't really lay out a case. All you can really do is rant and call people names. 100%. The problem is that is really irrelevant as far as I'm concerned, because in the end, what's important is the customer's channel choice. Mm-hmm. And everything past that is training them to use the language and skills needed for the channel. Use the language and skills and emotional tools needed for the medium in which they're engaging with the customer. So those who are experiencing a difficult situation on a phone or in person are going to have the training needed to better deal with that, to better handle that situation. Sure, it would be nice if it was an email, but it's not. Mm-hmm. And the reality is we have multiple channels. And steering people, I can't imagine a world in which we're steering people to one channel or another based on the comfort level of the rep.
Right. Right?
You start with the customer, you train the rep and hire the rep to adequately staff the channel. Now, it doesn't mean you don't care about the comfort of the rep, but in the end, customer channel choice is what dictates your staffing and your training.
I totally agree. I also think, though, it's an interesting question for how to take care of your staff. And part of that could be, you know what, you've had a couple days on the phone and you look like, you know, what's that cat from like with the crazy hair? I don't even know.
Cat with the crazy hair.
Cartoon where it looks like he stuck his finger in a socket, you know. You look at somebody and say, you know, you're clearly like super anxious and this is not working because you're feeling really overwhelmed by these phone calls. Why don't we switch your channel for a while? Like maybe that's an option. And I'm not saying that's necessarily the most efficient or productive way in all cases, but I think it's just a way to think about it a little differently and to identify that these channels as much, I totally agree it's about customer choice. And I totally agree it's about training for the channel as well, but it's also about recognizing those emotional cues in each channel and what we can control and what we can't about it. And I think now we have all these tools available, including things like video chat and video, instructional videos that you can send back and forth and things like that. Why aren't we leveraging that more in some cases? Because that does provide that context, that emotional context that you talked about, but maybe it's still a way to let people kind of do things on their own time as well in that asynchronous way, if you will. So it's just,
that's an operational question there. But I mean, I would say if we just change the question, I'd be okay with it. If the question is, can you be more human on Twitter than on the phone? In the aggregate, no. But if the question is, how can you be more human on Twitter? That is, I think, a better way to look at it, because in the end, okay, here are the limitations and abilities of this channel. And to your point, how can we be innovative in how we approach this? Can we send a personalized video? I mean, you and I have used before Mm-hmm. You know, stuff like, what's that name of that? BombBomb and things like that. Where, okay, email's cold. So it's a method by which you actually send a video via email, right? To help personalize the email, to help give that face connection and that tone of voice connection and all these things that aren't present in an email, despite Genie's emojis. So
I do like emojis. I also like exclamation points.
Now exclamation points I like because I'm all about the enthusiasm, right?
Right.
But so to me, it's really a question. Like if you're saying the writer sort of posits, can we be more human there? Mm-hmm. I'd say, other than the edge cases, no. For the vast majority, no. But can we be more human? I mean, there compared to the other channels, but can we be more human there? While we're there, right?
Yeah.
Can we be more human? Yeah, 100%. And we should always be looking at every way possible to create those connections, no matter what channel we're on, even if that is when appropriate, which we will not have time for in this conversation, moving channels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I also think that, you know, looking 10, 20 years down, we don't know what this is going to be. Like, we don't know how the next generation is going to interact with these channels. And so you have to be kind of aware of these things so that you can adapt and you can make sure that you are providing the right choice for all of your customers. So just lots of things to think about. That's what this is about. We're just trying to get people to think, Adam.
Yeah, that's so we don't have to. So y'all please, everybody do some thinking for us.
And let us know what you came up with.
And the Adam and Genie bots will just read these scripts.
And then send you a personalized video.
Yeah, I think you can tell from this conversation, there's no script.
Well, that's okay. We riff. That's okay. And we are always so appreciative when we have an audience for that. Right? Nice. So thank you so much for listening to Crack the Customer Code. If you like us, please go ahead and leave us a rating or review over on iTunes. That helps others like you who are interested in these things find us. So thank you for doing that. Crack the Customer Code is a proud member of C-Suite Radio. Be sure to check out all the great business content at csuiteradio.com and csuiteTV.com. I'm Jeannie Walters, and you can learn more about me and our trademarked customer experience investigation process and how we help you create fewer ruined days for your customers and more at experienceinvestigators.com.
And I'm Adam Toporkin, and you can learn more about our keynote speaking, customer service workshops and training and how we can help you win with experience at customersthatstick.com. Until next time, take care of yourself
and take care of your customers.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.